Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. We got a lot to get to. The Rams' struggles have caught the attention of three-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Fame quarterback Troy Aikman. Tell you what he said upcoming. Daniel Jeremiah will join us next hour. Wait till you hear what Ben Roethlisberger compared losing games to. It's an interesting analogy. And, oh yeah, by the way, the Duke lost. You can celebrate that one. It's pretty good, like, for Hater Nation, pretty good week for you, right? Hater Nation loves when Notre Dame loses. They lost their coach. Hater Nation usually doesn't like Oklahoma. They lost their coach. Hater Nation loves when Duke loses. And they lost. The Lakers did win last night. It's a big Hater Nation, right, with LeBron James. Although LeBron didn't play and they won last night. So maybe there's that. I don't know. Steph struggled. Duke lost. A lot of stuff going on. It's Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're headed to a lockout in baseball that nobody really cares about because the sense is that these contracts are crazy and it's a player versus union thing and fans just don't care because we rarely care about baseball in the regular season anyway. Before the regular season, exactly zero people actually truly care. Good? Yeah. So you know what people care about? These coaching changes are interesting, right? How do we view Notre Dame now getting ready for the potential for a college football playoff if things break their way? It looks like the committee is like, not going to get you in. Who's the right guy to lead that program? And what does it say, if anything, about the Irish that he left? Let's welcome in a special guest. Ryan Harris is a former lineman for the Irish. He's a current Notre Dame radio analyst. And, of course, he won a Super Bowl playing with the Broncos back when Peyton was the quarterback, right? So he joins us now on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Ryan, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure's mine. Where were you when you heard the news?
I was actually on a broadcast set here in Denver and my phone just started blowing up. You know, do you know anything? What's going on? You know, some people just beside themselves, other people with less than family radio friendly language. And initially there was shock. And the strange thing was there wasn't confirmation. Everybody I talked to who was there didn't know. And I think that was the biggest indicator that there was a change. So nothing had been confirmed. And then I got confirmation from a couple of coaches who had talked to Coach Kelly. And, you know, some of the coaches were happy. Other of the coaches were, you know, mixed emotions. Some of them were in shock. So a lot of people were surprised by Coach Kelly's move. And I believe Coach Kelly would tell you he was surprised at how quick, you know, the news spread as well. He wanted to get back and tell his team in the morning and unfortunately wasn't able to do that and break the news to them first.
Okay, so what did you think? When you caught a breath and you thought about it, what'd you think?
Congratulations to Coach Kelly. I mean, you know, you get that kind of a deal. 9 years, $95 million, a blank check for facilities. You know, 70% of their roster is from Louisiana, whereas when he was a Notre Dame coach, he's flying to New York, L.A., Florida, Atlanta. You know, so now you can kind of cut down your recruiting time, and you get to build a program. So congratulations to Coach Kelly, and it's a win-win, I believe, deep down for the Irish. Coach Kelly had done a great job in the last 12 years, five consecutive double-digit win seasons, you know, multiple playoff appearances. And that elusive Big Bowl win, you know. So I think Notre Dame is a program that's built to win, has the depth now that you need to compete at the highest level, and they need a coach to take them there. So hopefully in the next week or so, the Notre Dame faithful will get some answers because it is a church without a pulpit right now, I can tell you that.
Okay, so it's fascinating the reality that you understand, right? Like, and I don't think it's about travel for recruiting. I just think it's about – you know, players generally want to stay close to home, right? And Notre Dame's always been a national brand, and I think they do a great job scheduling, right? The ACC schedule allows them to get into Virginia, allows them to get into Florida, right? Allows them to get into California by playing Stanford and USC. and yeah. and they played in Texas, right? And that's their way of getting players. But look, man, it's a hard school to get into, hard school to stay in, let alone, and let's not even get, we're not even getting to the football. Whereas, you know, you're at LSU, like you said, like they are 100% about winning football games. But now there are going to be some that say, like, look, what about how we handled it leaving now? I've said it's the reality of the early signing period. There's nothing you can do. You have guys enroll early, guys in the transfer portal that are going to show up on campus first week in January. Do you, as a former Irish player, do you have a problem with the timing of it?
I would have loved for it to have been after the college football playoffs, you know, rankings were announced. I do believe that had a role in Oklahoma State jumping Notre Dame. But there would have been no good time. You know, there would have been no good time for Coach Kelly to tell the Notre Dame faithful in a season where they have a chance to win a national championship that he's leaving. You know, and back to the point on school, yeah, recruiting, you don't have to travel the country, but that's also more time for the coach at home. And let's be clear here. I mean, Notre Dame, everybody says the school is tough. Yes, it's hard, but the thing is you actually have to go to class, right? But I was able to get 2 degrees in 3.5 years. It's very, very possible. If I can do it, anybody can get one. Now, you go to a different school, and I'm not for sure on LSU, but I know some stories from teammates I've had that have told me about it. I mean, you got online classes. I mean, what's a freshman with 4 online classes doing in September? They're in the weight room, right? I mean, this is a different story.
Ryan, I'll just tell you, and granted, it was 20 years ago, okay? I was a freshman at Notre Dame.
Right.
It was freshman studies, right, where you get – you have to either pass the swim test or take swimming or you get some
yeah.
P. That's the only easy A, but that's like 1 hour of an A that you get. The rest, crazy. Oklahoma State's a good school, okay? But, bro, it's a completely different deal. It's just,
well,
I can't.
And you're going to get different players,
went,
right?
And we went to class. It wasn't that we didn't go to class, but you're drawing from a completely different level of player, a different mentality, a different everything, right? And even if you make them, and I do believe they make them go to class or do the online class or whatever, I don't think it's all, you know, that you can't be a student athlete. I just, it's a completely different deal, Notre Dame, as opposed to Oklahoma State where I went or LSU.
Oh, no question. And we take pride in that. I mean, every
right.
player
no
that
question.
Goes to Notre Dame goes beyond, right? You have the chance to go to Miami, to an SC, but you want more. But I mean, it's not only the classes, but I'm telling you right now, I got teammates from the SEC. They
yeah.
were not being checked in for class. You know, I had one teammate who, a professor was upset, came to the football office and said, you know, where is this player? He hasn't been in my class for 3 weeks. And the coach looked at the professor and said, if you're looking for him, he'll be in the backfield Saturday night. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we're talking about in the SEC. You get away with a whole lot more and it's a different experience. You're 100% right. And it's a different kid. It's a different person that chooses to go to Notre Dame.
Okay. Do you think it's fair that they are judged less favorably because they won't have BK if they play in a national semifinal?
It's absolutely unfair. I mean, these kids have earned the opportunity to play for a national championship. You can't take away the work and production of 100 guys because of one man's decision. That would just be an abomination. You know, do you understand why Oklahoma State's getting in there with an opportunity for a conference championship? Sure, I get that. But to hold those kids back, fighting back after losing a tough game to Cincinnati where they had 3 turnovers in the first 5 possessions, 2 of them in their own red zone, and that changes the game. They are begging for a chance to play Cincinnati again. And they also understand that they put themselves in this position. But I think the college football playoff committee, if they were to hold that against the kids for Brian Kelly leaving, that would be the worst mistake in the short history of the college football playoff. These kids have earned and played their way into contention, and they deserve a shot.
Okay, I wouldn't argue with what they've earned and what they've done. Like, we could go back, and I do think one of the things that's benefited the Irish recently is that they moved to this ACC schedule, and the ACC stinks, right? It's like, now they're playing Florida State every year. Florida State stinks. They play Virginia Tech every year. Virginia Tech's like, if you would have played that when you were in school, it's the hardest schedule ever, right? But besides that, here's the big question. Are they as good a team without Brian Kelly preparing and playing in those games?
The answer is yes. You know, Brian Kelly has moved himself into a CEO role towards the end of his tenure at Notre Dame. Tommy Rees really runs the offense. Marcus Freeman has full control of the defense. So even Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director, said yesterday, you know, we need somebody to handle the timeouts and game management. You know, we've got a great staff in place. So I absolutely believe they can win without a head coach. And they may have a head coach by the time that the bowl game comes around. I mean, you got to remember, no conference championship for Notre Dame. It's about 6 weeks, hopefully, until they play again.
Who do you think is the right fit?
I really like Marcus Freeman, defensive coordinator right now at Notre Dame. He's done a phenomenal job recruiting, not only that, but putting players in positions to win. After that, I would call Andy Heck, the offensive line coach at the Kansas City Chiefs. Former Notre Dame football player, played 8 years in the NFL, won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs, been to two of them. Really the most brilliant offensive mind I played with, taught me a lot about the game. I think they should give him a call. And then I'm calling Urban Meyer. If I'm Jack Swarbrick, I'm calling Urban Meyer and saying, I saw your press conference. That was cute. Let's talk turkey. What will it take to get you here? So those would be my three choices for the Notre Dame job.
Well, but if he offers Marcus the job, he's going to take it. He offers Andy Heck the job, he's going to take it. So you'd have to go the opposite order, right? And I don't think Urban's going to do it. But I would say, hey, what, you know, is there a number that we can get to? Is there something we can get to, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you tell. I mean, the fact is, and this is you can ask anybody in the NFL right now. I mean, people refer to Urban Meyer as the future college football coach, Urban Meyer. I mean, it's a matter of if, or it's a matter about when, not if, Urban Meyer is going to go back to college, and you're not going to get an opportunity like this many more times. He also, you know, I talked to people who were there, was getting ready to get on the private jet before they hired one of the other coaches, but the university told him no on getting two separate players every year in his recruiting class that didn't have to pass academic standards. So I know he's been interested in the job in the past. And especially with how they're losing in Jacksonville, I'd make sure that he said no before I started opening up to some other possibilities.
Does the picture of him in the bar make him unhireable for a college job?
No one knows about forgiveness more than Catholics. So, I mean, hey, you want to come to a place that has a tenet of forgiveness, Notre Dame's the place. And I think he's done a good job of getting away from that and also realizing that he can't control the narrative in the NFL. And that may also be a reason why he ends up going back to college.
Ryan, great stuff, man. Love having you on. We got to do this more. In the meantime, thanks so much for joining us, and can't wait to see what happens next with the Irish. Appreciate you being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
It was an honor. Thanks for having me. Peace.
All right, Ryan Harris, former Indy offensive lineman, former lineman with the Broncos when they won a Super Bowl, and of course, current analyst for the Irish. I thought that's real deal perspective, and honestly, like most players are that way. Like, guys are real about it. Like, wait, you're going to leave for LSU? Wait, how much? Oh, bro, you got to go take that money. You got to take that money. You know? Yeah, the timing sucks. It really sucks. I mean, again, just think about it. And he made a great point. Like, what if he waited till Wednesday and then it comes out? Great. Here's the problem. Okay. He would have been recruiting for Notre Dame for a couple of days. That wouldn't have gone over well. And then do you think the committee would have felt a little bit scorned? I do. I also think that there's also a point to it where you realize, and this actually helps your point, Dan Beyer, on is Notre Dame as good without him? Is coaching is really, it depends on the coach, is a small percentage of what it takes to be a head coach in college sports. The X and O's part of it is a very small percentage. Recruiting is a massive part of it. Handling boosters, working with the athletic department, managing your staff, managing your academic staff, all of these things, managing the players, the parents, the recruits, their parents, all of that is of equal or greater importance than the actual coaching. And then you focus on what you can focus on, but you got to hire people to do what you don't do, which is the part that gives me caution about hiring somebody who has a specific field of expertise. Like, oh, you hire Marcus, he's a great defensive coordinator, but that takes him away from what he does best. Who's going to manage the program? Is there a way to hire somebody to help you do the CEO thing? But the counter to that is, I am waiting for the day. And look, we're making a big deal about the money exploding, when the truth is, we don't know the scale of the NFL. Like, if you've read, Belichick makes 20. Most of these guys make close to eight figures as head coaches in the National Football League, and they don't have to recruit, and they have a legit offseason. But all jobs, I think broadcasting is the exception, are everything is exploding in terms of cost. That's like that's where we are right now. Hell, the dollar store is now going to be what, the dollar 25 cent store. So we're looking at it through a lens of yesterday, not through a lens of today. But will there be an athletic director that says, hey, look, here's the deal. We're only going to pay our head coach $2 million. He's a young guy, going to prove himself, but we're going to pay his staff at the going rate of the top staffs. So you're going to do it kind of an ensemble cast sort of thing.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, right? That's why Discover Card matches all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. Discover exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Okay. I really like this. This is... Okay, so... Jason Stewart, you have there's a Brian Kelly story, right? That everybody is sharing on social media, and it's in regards to Robert Saleh. And there was somebody else who was that they were grad assistants at Central Michigan back when BK was the head coach there, right?
Yeah, it was Saleh and Matt LaFleur.
Okay. So Saleh and Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur was with him for 1 year at Notre Dame. Whose story is this from the perspective of?
They kind of reissued the story. I guess a couple years ago, Saleh went on record talking about it and telling the story. So there's no sound. I'll get the details for you.
I thought it was like 10 years ago the story was printed or whatever. But the idea is this. Basically, they were grunts. They were GAs for him at Central Michigan. And they thought they got invited over for a holiday party. When they got there, they were actually unpaid labor for the holiday party, and they parked cars and they had to shovel snow. Is that accurate? I think that's accurate.
That's it. Let me get the details for you.
Okay. So let me ask you, Buyer, when you were a grunt, when you were just starting out in this business or you're in college.
Yes.
Anything like this ever happened to you?
My first radio job, I had to alternate Sunday mornings to run the church programs, but also it was my job to clean the studio, which also included the bathrooms.
Wow. How was your bathroom cleaning skills?
I actually thought I did all right. You know, just clean up the sink, put a little Comet or Lysol in the toilet, let it sit for a while, scrub it up, and move on. It wasn't a big station. It was a very small town station, but that was one of the duties.
Okay, I got a story for you. It wasn't me. It was a friend of mine, and he was a GA in a basketball program. This is going back, about 25 years ago. And do you remember the Hootie and the Blowfish song, Blind? I Go Blind.
I'm not familiar with it. But
Ramos, are you familiar? Can you find I Go Blind?
Sure, I'll find it for you. I'm not familiar with it either, but I will find it for you.
I think it was from Cracked Rear View, I think was their first, was like their huge album. And then they had I want to say it's on Fairweather Johnson. It was like their second or third big album, whatever. And it wasn't as big a hit as their first, you know, with Cracked Rear View. They were the biggest band on earth. But Scattered, Smothered, and Covered, which, by the way, if you've lived in the United States, you know what that's in reference to, right? Ramos, do you know? Ramos has not traveled as much, so he may not.
I'm guessing it has to do with maybe a tornadoes?
No.
Okay. I figured Scattered, you know, get down, cover yourself.
No.
Sorry.
No.
Okay, my bad.
Waffle House.
Okay, that's a big difference from what I said.
It's a big difference.
That's like say it has to do with cars. It has to do with mountains or something like that.
Yes. So, yeah. So Waffle House, when you have your hash browns, okay, there's a term for each. So this is the song.
Oh,
I Go Blind,
okay.
Right?
I've heard it. I didn't know the name of it.
Every time I look at you, I go blind. Every time I look at. Right? I want to be a backup singer for Darius. Anyway. So. A friend of mine is a grad assistant, and they play on a Saturday night, and they got Sunday off. So we're hanging out together, okay? And This is the year that I'm not playing college basketball. It's in between my freshman and my sophomore year. And I was with this friend, and he gets a call from the head coach. And the head coach says, "Hey, listen, nameless. What are you doing this morning?" It's like, you know, coach, I'm not. And by the way, everybody calls, if you're the head coach, everybody calls you coach. You lose your first name, you become coach. Everybody's coach, 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 coach. Coach, I'm not really doing anything. We're kind of hanging out. He's like, can you do me a favor? Could you run over to the house? Sure, coach, no problem. What do you need? Well, can you stop by at, I think it, the chain in the West Coast was not Virgin Records yet. It was the warehouse. Can you stop by the warehouse and pick up that single for I Go Blind, Hooting the Blowfish? He's like, really? Yeah. Thanks. And so on his Sunday morning, his day off, that's what he had to do. I have another friend who is an assistant coach, who a buddy of mine was a manager at a program, and the coach did not either know how or want to fast forward or rewind the edited tape, right? He wanted it all either cut up, but he wanted somebody else, like, you put it in, you hit, if you cut at the tape, you fast forward, you do whatever you want to it. He literally would not touch the remote control. So this story to me sounds totally reasonable. By the way, I'll give you what my real takeaway from it in a second. So here's the story. Sala and Matt LaFleur, the older brother of Mike LaFleur, were on Brian Kelly's staff as low-level assistants in their 20s. According to this 2019 ESPN article, they thought they were invited to a party at Kelly's house, only realized they were the help. We shoveled snow and parked cars. At the end of the night, we had to go get the cars again. We decided when we're in that position, we're never going to treat people the way we got treated. Now, I will just tell you this, like the grunt labor thing, which sounds, and I wouldn't treat people that way either, right? Like there's a, but that you do, there are certain, you know, you can pay guys and whatever. But I often get this, like, well, why don't guys, well, first, we always see head coaches as these multi-millionaires. Now, not all of them are DBs on the way up. Not all of them are DBs when they get to the top, because most of them had to go through the grunt labor. It's like part of the weeding out process. Oh, you really want to do this? Well, guess what you got to do? You got to stare at tape and cut up and edit the tape and get it perfect for us. And then you got to park cars and shovel snow and do all this. And that's when you're doing the most when you make the least. And just like Dan Beyer, when he was playing church music instead of being on the radio. Like, that's like the reality of it. Jay Stu, what's the worst thing you ever had to do at work?
The worst thing I've ever had to do at work, man, that's a great question. I'm guessing what? Go down and get coffee for some talent who didn't want to put in the effort?
That's the worst thing?
The first thing that comes to mind, I think, is like leaving the building to get coffee. I think that's like where you kind of draw the line with interns. Like, they shouldn't have to leave the building for any talent.
Why? Well, they're not allowed to at Fox Sports Radio. Right. One, we don't have interns anymore, but they're actually not allowed to. Why shouldn't they be allowed to get coffee?
The coffee thing is, I guess, less intrusive than leave the building, go to Starbucks or wherever and get coffee. I think that's pushing it a little bit as far
why?
As what you can ask an intern
but
to do.
But what are they supposed to do then?
Utilize not the gonna cafeteria, help. They're not gonna... I guess.
Okay, I mean, if you have a full cafeteria, I guess, but like if they like their Starbucks coffee, like what's the difference, right? And as long as you're not buying it.
I think you kind of get into the liability part of it, right? If the interns hit on the way there or the transportation or whatever. But
that's different. Demeaning. That's different. It's demeaning. They're interns.
I know.
Everybody has to do, you have to do something when you're on your way up. You don't just get to be, you know, it's like, you're not going to help me with content. You know, you're not going to help me with content. You're not going to help the producers, like whatever they need. I need coffee. Okay. Now, the proper etiquette when you're the talent and you're asking somebody to get coffee is, tell them what you'd like. I'd love to buy you a cup of coffee. You fly, I buy, right? Does that change your perspective at all?
It does. Yeah. If you're buying, that's a different angle.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of common practice is if you're making the money and they're not making the money, you're like, you're willing to buy stuff. But the going to get food, like that's intern 101. No question.
It certainly used to do. It used to be. I used to, but I don't think interns are treated that way anymore. I think there's.
But
more.
That's not punishing them. That's not treating them poorly. They're doing you a favor. They're running an errand that, you know, somebody else who has a job that actually gets paid for it, that's put in the time, they got to do. Okay, here's one. Here's one where I'm not going to relate to you the SportsCenter anchor's name. Okay. But at ESPN, now they have a second digital center, which is right next to the old digital center. So the digital center is this massive, massive building that is at the end of a row of buildings, which, I mean, it's become really a big place. It used to, remember where Grant Hill in that SportsCenter ad was playing the piano, right?
Yep.
That's building 4. That used to be the main hub. Okay. It used to be where, ESPN News was located. I think ESPN Radio is still there. I don't know. I haven't been there in like a decade, so I don't know. But that's like the center of all the buildings, right? The cafeteria is right next to that building. Behind the cafeteria is the digital center. There's a row of buildings to the right of what was building 4, the main entrance building, which are brand new. And all the way to the right, right when you enter the complex, right, there's a beautiful brand new, or now it's not brand new, now it's probably 8 years old. And that's where ESPN News, there's a studio in there, all the anchors, all the show groups, the executive, everybody's in there. And then you, because the weather is usually bad, or you don't cut through campus, you just walk skywalk building to building to building to building, and ultimately you're in the digital center. It's probably a, if you're walking at a normal pace, 10-minute walk, maybe 15 if you're stopping and talking. You could probably do it if I've sprinted and it's like 5 minutes. Right now, and again, I don't know what it's like now because it's been a long time, but the makeup used to be in the digital center in like a green room, but you keep your clothes in a completely other, everything else building, and all your paperwork and all your show meetings are in a different building. So there was a SportsCenter anchor who didn't know anybody's name, didn't know who was a intern and who was a PA. PA is a production assistant. That is the lower level. Then AP, it's PA, then AP, then producer, then producer two, then executive producer, then coordinating producer. Like, that's the pecking order or whatever, right? So it was really hard because you forgot something like 5 buildings away and you're on air in 5 minutes, and it takes a 5-minute sprint to get there, get whatever you want, and sprint back. Like, you're literally not able to do it. It's physically impossible if you forget something to go all the way over. It's a terrible setup, right? They should have everybody's clothes, everybody work in the same building that they do this to. But that's what happens when you add on buildings, right? And people who work there know who I'm talking about. But this anchor famously said, "I forgot my paperwork. Could one of the workers go and get my paperwork? It's at my desk over in the other building." And it was the term workers. It was not knowing anybody's name. And just so there became kind of a running gag. And if you look, this is, again, like 10 years ago, there was kind of a running gag where people were using workers in their taglines or in their highlights. They would talk about working or workers. That's who they were making fun of. Anyway, that's my.
That's a good one. I can't believe Rich Eisen treats people like that.
It was not Rich Eisen. It's not Rich Eisen. Wade says, "I Go Blind was a B-side, threw into some soundtracks, and it was on an appearance on Friends." I believe that's true. My two favorite B-sides from the 90s are "I Go Blind" and "Yellow Ledbetter" was a B-side, I think, for Jeremy, on a single for Pearl Jam.
Great song, and you're right. Yep.
I'm right about being a B-side?
B-side to Jeremy, yeah.
Do you know the words to the song?
Not offhand. It's one of those tricky lyric songs, right?
It's one of those, there's really no words, and he just kind of says them, and they don't make any sense. Right? I mean, it's a great air guitar song. Let's get to Dan Byer and find out what else is going on, actually, in sports.
I want to bring a full
workers! Start.
I want to bring Rutgers. It full circle because okay. we kind of got away from the Sala Kelly LaFleur thing.
Okay, go.
Yeah, number one, Robert Sala said today that he feels bad that this story kind of resurfaced and that it shed a dark light on Brian Kelly, a bad light on Brian Kelly, saying that Sala did say that later on in his career he tried to work for Brian Kelly when Kelly went to Notre Dame. So Sala was apologetic about that, thought he was trying to tell a funny story. But here's the real deal, Doug. This is the real issue. If you have money to spare in the Midwest and you have a driveway, just get a plow. Like, that's all you got to do. Some guy's got a plow in the front of his truck. You could plow the driveway. The real bad move by Kelly, it's one thing to shovel a sidewalk, get some guys over, shovel the sidewalk, throw on some salt so nobody slips. But if he bypassed a plow and made his GA shovel the driveway, it's a totally different story.
Good point.
Yeah, just fair, you know, get it. Yeah, if it's a long driveway, just that's what the plow's there for.
Correct.
So
correct. I mean, this is a true story. I actually, when I was at ESPN, so I had these great neighbors who would plow my driveway for me. Swear to God, like I'd wake up and I hear this, sure. And they're like, "Hey, dude, look, I like doing it. I get a cup of coffee. It's good exercise." I had this my first house there. I had this crazy long, like 500-yard driveway, and it was crushed bluestone. It was really hard. You could only take off like the top layer. Couldn't get really low on it. But I had a neighbor that would do it. He would do it, and then I had a truck, and I had the idea like, "Hey, I may buy like a plow. Like I worked till 1 a.m. I didn't have kids. I was like, maybe I'll just like plow driveways. It's a good way to make money." Never did it.
And if it's a dusting, then Sala and LaFleur shouldn't have complained because you're just walking back and forth, maybe enjoying the nice snowfall. All right, let's move away from that. Some college football news. The Ohio State-Michigan game on Fox, 15.9 million viewers this past Saturday, the most watched game of any college football matchup this season. And the College Football Playoff Management Committee met again today with no decision on whether to expand the playoff. Despite the lack of a decision, Executive Director Bill Hancock said there remains a strong consensus within the group to expand the playoff, with the group likely meeting next month. Some news just in from Major League Baseball. Across the glass is going to be very happy. The Dodgers and Chris Taylor are closing in on a deal. That was first reported by ESPN. Now, they likely have to meet a deadline of tonight because Major League Baseball sure looks like they're heading to a lockout. Negotiators from the league and union met for about 7 minutes today on a new CBA. Then the talks ended, and there are no further talks scheduled for today. CBA expires at midnight tonight. And some NBA news. Bam Adebayo of the Heat could miss 4 to 6 weeks. He needs thumb surgery. Blazers guard Damian Lillard going to miss at least 10 days with an ab injury. Suns guard Devin Booker to miss a few games, according to ESPN, because of a hamstring strain. Amari Cooper set to play tomorrow against the Saints. Cowboys activated him from the reserve COVID list. Doug, back to you.
Did you see this news? Square. You guys know what Square is? The company Square. You know, whenever you swipe things, you know, like if somebody has a business, you know, and they're trying to sell you something, they got Square's way of paying for things. So the CEO of Square used to be the CEO of Twitter as well, Jack Dorsey. So he stepped down from his CEO status earlier this week from Twitter, only to focus on Square. Square is now Block. I don't know. I just.
Cool.
Okay. I'm sure they had like an outside, you know, like they paid somebody to give them suggestions. And like, what do you think that room was like? Where they're like, okay, guys, we need to change the name. Okay, there's blockchain technology. We want to figure out a name. Let's hire this firm, and they're going to do some studies on names. You pay a couple $100,000. They do all the studies on names, and they say they're like, what do you think about Block? Who's the guy who suggested Block? And then they come back to him like, you know, Jimmy made a good suggestion about 3 months ago. Block. We're going to go with Jimmy's suggestion and Block. it's always fascinating to me. These billion dollar companies. And they're like, yeah, let's go to Block. By the way, you want to talk about a rich dude who could buy the NFL? Yeah. Jack Dorsey, who started Twitter and started Block, which was Square.
So he's going to remain on the board for Twitter, but I
don't think he's going to remain on the board. He's going to remain on board for a couple months. And
that's
then
what I'm saying. Yeah. So yes. There was just a massive buyout, right? I mean, he's going to cash in big time on that.
I mean, I think he owns stock, and yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's good. Right? If you're part of the group that starts Twitter and you're part of the group that starts Square, I think you're good. Right? Like, I don't know what the number is, but it's probably a pretty good number.
I believe earlier in the year, Twitter's stock was at about $80, and now it's about $45. So it's lost a lot.
Well, they're going to, you know, they're going to try and monetize it, you know, which means more ads or whatever. They got to figure out a way to monetize it. And they should, because people use tweets all the time on radio, TV shows all the time. They put up random tweets. Like, there's got to be a way to monetize that. You know, this tweet brought to you by Block, formerly Square. Wait to hear what Colin Cowherd and Nick Wright argued about today. That's next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When it rains, they signs of stopping. Let it snow, let it snow. We finally kiss goodnight. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Who is that, Ramos? Is that Bing?
No, that's Dino. Dean Martin. Remember Dean?
Dean? Yes.
Yes.
Great hair. Jay Stu, Rat Pack is who?
Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and Sinatra. And I always forget the fourth.
I think it's Peter Lawford was the fourth one, who was the husband of one of the Kennedys' wives. I mean, Kennedy's sisters.
Do you want in on this one? Buyer?
Well, does that include Dean Martin as well as a part of that? I thought maybe Jerry Lewis was in there, but I'm not sure.
Jerry was not. Jerry and Sammy were besties, but he was not included. You guys are missing one, because Peter Lawford was, and then they had a falling out. He had a falling out with Sinatra, right? Because everybody had a falling out with Sinatra.
Joey Bishop?
Joey Bishop is the other one. Joey Bishop. Do you know what Joey Bishop's real last name is?
That I don't know.
Gottlieb.
Really?
Yeah. Joseph Abraham Gottlieb.
Wow.
Can't make that one
right.
Up. Yeah. He was a comedian, right? So you had Sammy Davis Jr. was a comedian and actor. And I'm Sammy Davis Jr. You had Joey Bishop, who was a comedian. You had Dean Martin, who was a singer and actor. You had Sinatra, who was an actor. And then you had Peter Lawford. Lawford, who was an actor and producer, more of a socialite than anything. So there you go. And he was the brother-in-law of John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy as well.
So. It's funny, because in the 80s, they called them the Brat Pack, right? Which was kind of a play off that, which was like Judd Nelson and Emilio Estevez and all those, Andrew McCarthy.
Yeah, so who was the Brat Pack?
Well, those were three of them.
Yeah.
Anthony Michael Hall was
one
of them.
I think he may have been in there too, yeah. Rob Lowe, I think, was in there.
Rob Lowe was in there, sure. Yeah. There were women in the Brat Pack.
Were
Emilio
there?
Estevez, Anthony Michael Hall, Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy, Judd Nelson.
Ali Sheedy.
Mm. Who's most? Ali Sheedy, okay. There's another, two more women.
Demi Moore?
Yes.
Molly Ringwald was a big
Molly
one.
Ringwald,
bam,
nice.
Children of the 80s, baby.
There you go. Let's get to what the Fox said.
And now.
What's up, the Fox?
Nick Wright was a guest on The Herd today. He and Colin had this exchange.
I hope anyone and everyone, including the great broadcaster I'm talking to right now agrees that if today Aiden Hutchinson says, you know what, I'm top five pick, I don't need to play any more college football, and he takes Ajabo and Hill with him, the other first rounders from Michigan, and they skip out on the Big Ten championship game and the playoff, we got no problem with it, right? It's totally fine. The championship and the playoff does not matter. It's about what's best for every individual. So they can skate right now, and we're good with it, right? I want to make sure. The other question I would have is,
well,
this.
I'm not right with that. I am not right with
Why
that.
Why are you not okay with that?
Because college athletes don't have the leverage. I mean, let's be honest about this. Coaches, my bosses, my executives, they get pensions I don't. They get outs I don't. Uh-huh. They fly on the jets I don't. I, as a quote-unquote on-air, let's say I'm an athlete, there are certain things I get But my mobility isn't the same as my boss's mobility, the Murdoch family's mobility.
No, agreed.
Right, so players...
Right. And no one's going to give Aiden Hutchinson $100 million.
But he doesn't...
Wait, nobody's going to give him the $100 million.
I'm the only media person that I don't think players are equal to 59-year-old coaches.
Let's look. Nick's wrong. Okay? He's classically wrong. Nick is one of these player empowerment, they should leave when they want. He's wrong. Because he hasn't been a part of a team ever before. Okay? And you might say, well, but Brian Kelly, like, their season is over. Their season is over. Okay? The season is over. Additionally, he's going to go to work for the university, for LSU immediately. If you leave your school, Michigan, because you played well against Ohio State, okay, you're not immediately going to the NFL. There's no job immediately to leave for. And your season is not over. Now, if you want to say, hey, the postseason is still to be played, that's reasonable. Okay. Again, the difference is, first of all, coaches and players aren't the same. And until we get that straight, a professor is not the same as a student. A kid isn't the same as a teacher or as a parent. They're not. And especially a coach who's in charge of everybody in the university and is immediately has to go to work for the other university, you're comparing incomparables. What does the Fox say? Dana Jeremiah joins us up coming next. We'll get his thoughts on the likelihood of Lincoln Riley turning around SC, on the difference in players at Notre Dame and the SEC. And, oh yeah, by the way, are we buying the Patriots? Next on the Doug Gottlieb Show.